This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Pete on Sports till 6 o'clock. Tom Lavera at 5. Michael Taylor's got a new home. We'll tell you where Michael A. will play in 2021 coming up. Please be joined now by J.P. Finley of NBC Sports Washington. J.P., how was your Thanksgiving?
I worked, Pete.
But, of course.
That was the first fun game I've worked in a long time. So that was enjoyable. And then I ended up, doing kind of the turkey routine with my family later on the couple days break. It was nice to have a Saturday and a Sunday off. I think as far as 2020 goes, Thanksgiving's probably been the best holiday of the year so far for folks in the DMV.
Yeah, I would agree with that, no doubt, with Washington winning the game. JP, the fourth quarter of that game, I tell you, Mike McCarthy's a guy that, has won a lot of football games in the National Football League, JP. I don't understand for the life of me what made him look like a desperate first-time football coach on Thursday in that contest. He was only down one possession. His quarterback and his best receiver showed at one point they could hit on a big play. So you were only one play away, and yet he coached that game like this was his first time ever coaching the National Football League, and obviously it backfired. And for the first time in a while, JP, Washington took advantage of somebody else's mistakes and delivered the kill shot and eventually got a nice victory on Thursday. Your thoughts as you evaluated this one on Thursday for the Washington victory?
Yeah, I mean, I go back even a week prior, and Mike McCarthy pushed all his chips in for a random non-division Week 9 game against Minnesota, who was 4-5 or whatever they were. So I think when you start smashing watermelons before Thanksgiving and you got another game in 4 days, you're building your team kind of – you're setting them up for a letdown. And that's I think that they got that in some level. I'm just – in general, that kind of trying to get emotional responses for professional teams, I just think rarely works or certainly is rarely sustainable. So I think – that was kind of a problem before they even kicked off. I guess you're trying to set the tone with that fourth and short play call at your own 34. I don't like that. I know there are analytics people that might argue, but you're at your own 34 in a close game. It just seems to be pressing too hard. And then the fake punt was just terrible. It was the fourth and one, you can defend it. If you sneak it or you give it to Zeke, whether you get stuffed or not, I think you have a more clear defense of the decision. But the fake punt was moronic, and the play call was even worse. Like the double reverse when you have a fourth and 10 already, and the up back, the guy that you need to get there for you has to go 25 yards to get the first down. It was just terrible.
For Washington, JP, even when teams make those kind of mistakes in years past, that would have been like they would have settled for a field goal after that, and it would have still been a one-score game, and history would have probably been on the Cowboys' side. They would come back and tie it at 23 at that point, and you're like, okay, here we go again. The fact that Antonio Gibson scored in one play, it was almost like something just – magically appeared and something magically changed for this Washington franchise in my mind at that moment. And we will only know how big it is depending on how the rest of their season works out. But to see Antonio Gibson go off the left side and go right into the end zone immediately and deliver the kill shot, It just seemed like something different to me for this team. And I know Dallas isn't great, but in years past, they don't deliver the kill shot there. On Thursday, they did.
Totally. And then the Montez Sweat pick six later, same thing. But I would it was clearly Washington's day. I mean, they got the breaks and just they made plays. You got to give them credit for that. But I'd even go to the Terry McLaurin rundown on what should have been a Dallas pick six, the Jalen Smith pick. And Terry makes a heck of a play to get the stop. But how many times, I mean, this season, a number of times, the defense has been put in tough situations and then just promptly gives up a touchdown. That didn't happen either. And you don't want to read too much into beating a bad Cowboys team, but if you choose to be optimistic, that game gave you a ton to be optimistic about, both for this NFC East race, which is, it's real. I mean, one team's going to win it. Might as well be Washington. And maybe for the future, too, because I think Ron has been saying for weeks to anybody that will listen how he's optimistic for the long term with this team because of the young guys that are on the field. And I think we know McLaurin and Chase Young are stars, and they do things the right way. They work really hard, good people. I mean, I think we know that. We certainly know that about Terry. I'd say I know that about Chase. Gibson looks like he's going to be in that category. The numbers are really starting to pile up for him. I think Cam Curl's playing a lot and showing them something. There's obviously holes, but they're going to try to address them. Every team does. I also think we're watching the development of Scott Turner, which is a really positive thing, and his offense and his play calling abilities. So I'm starting to see Ron's vision of why he's optimistic going forward. And I think that big picture is more valuable than the potential NFC East banner they can raise at FedEx next year.
Yeah, and no doubt. And plus, I mean, look, on the defensive side, even without, you know, the normal training camp, you can come up with a base plan on defense to at least give yourself a fighting chance. But when you have a first-year full-time offensive coordinator – who obviously has a bunch of new pieces that he's working with, a running back that was a wide receiver in college. His number one wide receiver is a second-year guy, and he has an offensive line that's in a state of flux. You need time. We're 11 games into this thing, and I think we're finally seeing a little bit of a comfort level where he's going away from just the base offense, where now he is introducing some new concepts, whether it be trick plays, for lack of a better term. But he's finding little things within his personnel groupings that he can take advantage of. The direct snap to Logan Thomas and doing RPO with him in short yardage. It seems as if his comfort level is starting to come in finally, because the offense is the group that really needs the most time to try and put plans in place.
Yeah, I'm with you for sure. And I would point to the coaching job being done on the O-line and with the receivers. We spent a lot of time this offseason and in August talking about how they just don't have enough at receiver. And I think Terry's, you know, on pace for one of the biggest receiving seasons ever in Washington. We know what he is, but I think Cam Sims has developed. Isaiah Wright has developed. Now, I'm not sure they're developing into – I don't think Cam Sims is your number two receiver going forward. I think they should sign a veteran. But I think Cam Sims is your number three is pretty good. And I think you got to credit – those wideout coaches. And I think on the O-line, I mean, Morgan Moses is having a hell of a year for them, and he's switching sides. Brandon Scherff missed some time, but he's playing really well. But outside of that, you got Chase Rouye and Wes Schweitzer and David Sharp. And the O-line hasn't been great, but, I mean, they've run for over – what have they run for? Over 320 in their last two games, and Alex is largely getting time to throw, and this is a new version of Alex that's less mobile than we're used to. So I think we're seeing real development for this team, and I'm not necessarily trying to take a shot at anybody previously. I don't know that we saw a lot of that in the past. And who knows? Maybe they bottom out here and lose 4 or 5 and finish 5-11, and we all feel differently when we get to New Year's Day. But I think this team is showing important signs for now and for the future. And sometimes those two things can be kind of conflated.
Did you kind of have your heart in your throat a little bit when Alex scrambled out and actually went downfield toward the sideline there and got, you know, some significant yardage? I was a little concerned for 11 at that point, to be honest with you.
Dude, my heart's been in my throat multiple times with 11 on the field. And I wonder when that stops, right? I mean, at some point, he's just back, and we don't have to worry every time he gets hit or takes a sack. But maybe that comes next year. I'm not sure when that comes.
Well, I was going to say, I wonder where his confidence level is. I know he's an elite athlete and always has been. He was terrific. You go all the way back to his time at Utah. He was a fantastic athlete at the quarterback position. But even so, you have to think that his confidence in his body is growing week by week here. The more that he stays on the field, obviously, and does more things, like scrambling out of the pocket is a step forward, you know, in his progression here, you know?
And he's talked about he wanted to get that first hit under his belt and now get a win and a couple wins. So I think for him, I think in the moment with football players, there's no thought process. You're just playing football. You're doing, especially on the professional level, you're doing what you've done probably your whole life and what you're paid millions to do, and you're just reacting and trying to play to a strategy. But I think when he watches tape or certainly maybe before that ball is snapped or whatever it is, I don't think now it's probably still happening, but for sure in that Rams game, I mean, he admitted that, but you'd have to imagine even in Detroit, his first start, because – when he was thrust into the Rams and the Giants game in a relief role, he wasn't thinking about that. You're preparing, but you don't think you're going in. The Lions game, he was a starter all week, and that had to be pretty mind-blowing on some level. And now I think he's just focused on winning the NFC East and trying to beat the Steelers.
Yeah, no doubt. Speaking of that, you know, who knows what's going to happen on Sunday? Who knows if this game will even be on Sunday, to be quite honest with you? If Pittsburgh does indeed play their game with Baltimore on Tuesday night, it's a quick turnaround, but it's not quite as quick as playing Sunday to Thursday. So I would imagine as long as Pittsburgh comes out of this game tomorrow night without a lot of COVID issues, this game probably goes as scheduled Sunday, you think?
I think they get this game in Sunday. I mean, maybe they do a Monday doubleheader, but the key is – I mean, Pittsburgh's had a couple players pop positive, but the Ravens situation is just out of control. And, I mean, on some level, don't you still wonder if they're going to play?
Absolutely.
Tomorrow?
Absolutely.
I think it's possible. Think about it a couple different ways. The COVID situation is out of control. Maybe they just have to push this thing back to a Week 18, and it's just the one game they do it with, because they've already played all these other games this week. And my parent company, it's already an NBC game because it was supposed to be Sunday Night Football, right? Or Thursday Night Football? I don't remember. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be the Thanksgiving night.
Thanksgiving Thursday night game, yeah.
Right. Imagine if NBC gets a Ravens-Steelers, probably the best rivalry in the NFL right now. They get that game to themselves on a Week 18 weekend. I think the television executives would love that. So,
and there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee you're gonna get through the rest of the schedule unscathed anyway. So it would at least give you, you know, some relief that if you have to move a game, that you would have a weekend to do that.
Totally,
it just makes too much sense.
And they've already talked about the possibility of a Week 18. So none of this is off the table. I don't know if you were listening to the Zooms today with Ron Rivera. But Matt Paris, good reporter for the Washington Times, asked Ron, hey, Coach, have you allowed the thought that this season might not finish? And Ron admitted it. He's like, the thought has crossed my mind. You know, the NFL, the Washington football team, everybody's committed. But who knows if we've learned anything this year? I got 5-year-old daughter wears a mask at the park. If we've learned anything this year, it's that we have no idea what's going to happen. So I think Washington's going to play the Steelers on Sunday, but, you know, I wouldn't guarantee it.
By the way, Denver had no quarterback yesterday. At least Baltimore tomorrow night will have Robert. You know?
That's true.
They'll at least
fun to watch Robert.
I mean, they'll at least have a serviceable quarterback. By the way, what do you think the penalty is going to eventually be for Baltimore? Because we've seen some amazing fines. We've seen loss of a draft pick already. What do you think the ultimate penalty is for them? Because this was just such a blatant disregard for the protocols.
So two teams have lost draft picks, a sixth and a seventh. Neither are that severe. The fines are starting to mount. I mean, they're all six figures. I think Baltimore's looking at a seven-figure fine. And we'll see with the draft pick stuff. I mean, are these going to start creeping up into fifth, fourth-round picks? That's a slippery slope. I mean, but you're also endangering people and public safety. And, you know, it's hard, I think, in the league – because even the guys that get it, when you talk to them, they're like, I wasn't sick at all. And that's not necessarily what's important with this virus. It's the spreadability. And, you know, we all know enough about people that get it and don't have symptoms versus who it is really dangerous for. I don't know what's going to happen. That'll be fascinating to watch. And Pete, not to make everything Washington football team centric, but I guess that's kind of my job. But this – As these fines and these draft picks start flying out for the COVID violations, I think that puts a lot more pressure on the NFL when this sexual harassment investigation finally concludes to be really decisive with the action towards the Washington football team. If this investigation proves that there was a tolerant culture of sexual harassment over two decades and the league's fining teams $500,000 and taking away draft picks for COVID violations. Like, what do you have to do for sexual harassment?
No, we're going into territory that, look, I mean, we look at the Jerry Richardson situation where basically he was already kind of on the way out and eventually sold the team there anyway. But
He basically pulled the ripcord. He basically was like, I'm out before this hits the fan.
Dan's not pulling the ripcord.
Like
JP,
right.
they're going to have to go in the building with a SWAT team and pull him out. I'm telling you,
right. He's
not going anywhere unless they litigiously force him to leave the building. I don't think there's any question in my mind.
Look at all the changes they're making right now. That's Dan trying to make things right with the NFL. It's 100% what's happening.
Sure.
Or it's the greatest character change we've seen in modern history. The changes over there are vast and significant. And maybe everybody realized they need to happen, but I think they're also happening with an eye towards, look, we're going to rebuild everything. It's going to be different, I promise. But I wonder what these fines are going to be like and what this – I think the only thing fans will care about are draft picks. Fans want the bad people out. It seems like the bad people are out. Fans don't care about the fine because that's Dan's money. They're not worried about that. But if they lose draft picks, I think people should be prepared for them to lose draft picks.
Oh, definitely. I don't think there's any question about it. If Dan's going to keep the team, because the ultimate penalty would be forcing him to sell the team. But if he's not forced to sell the team, there's no question he's going to have to cut a big check, and they are likely to lose at least a draft pick, maybe even if multiple draft picks over a couple of years for something like that. But, you know, look, I mean, it's never too late to get it right, and you can only hope that maybe after seeing it go so bad for so long, maybe Jason Wright and some others now over there have the ability to get through to him that, hey, we can do this a different way and be successful. You just got to let us do it.
Yeah, you know, for sure. And, I mean, I think you see early signs of that progress, right? I mean, the changes they made with Julie on air and Jason running things and hiring a really accomplished HR person when before they just kind of saddled HR on the finance guy. Like, I mean, they're trying to run it like a multi-billion-dollar corporation, which it was not run that way prior. We'll see what happens. I just it's going to be fascinating to watch, and I hope for football fans it doesn't. Here's what I know is the Washington football team has curried very little favor up in New York with the league office over the years. I mean, go back to the salary cap violations, and they just got hammered for that. And we'll see what happens.
Fascinating topic, certainly for another day. We'll have those ahead, and especially if Beth Wilkinson's report eventually comes out even before the end of the year. JP, as always, appreciate the time, my friend. Enjoy the week.
Pete, I got to ask, could you hear these birds?
There's like a million
birds in my neighborhood.
I can.
I'm sorry, dude.
Well, you know what?
Like,
you know what it is,
away,
though?
But
I'm in my basement, but I have my window open, and after all the thunder and everything that came rolling through, it's still relatively warm outside, and the birds are loving life. But at some point, they're going to realize in the next couple of days, maybe it's time to head south because it's going to get blustery and cold in a hurry.
Yeah, it's either all these birds outside or deal with my screaming kids inside. So I went outside. Sorry.
The birds are much quieter, believe me. I've had three kids, I know. So
you do.
Appreciate you, pal. We'll talk to you later on this week.
Sounds good. See ya.
You got it. JP Finley joining us here from NBC Sports Washington. Fascinating topic, you know, in addition to what's happening, the positive things on the field. You know, if and when Beth Wilkinson's investigation results drop, you know, what will that do? And what kind of a shadow will that cast over the progress that's seemingly being made on the field right now? Tom Lavero joins us at 5 to talk about that very subject. We'll do that coming up at the top of the hour. Back to more in a moment. Sports Radio 1067.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Michael McDonald, one of the greatest background singers of all time. Collaborate on so many different projects in addition to his stuff on his own. Great, great musician. Pete on Sports with you till 6 o'clock. Glad to have you with us tonight right here on 106.7 The Fan. Tom Lavero coming up at 5 to talk about what JP and I kind of talked about at the end of our conversation there about, you know, Beth Wilkinson's investigation may be in the stages of wrapping up and what those results will mean for the Washington football team and some of this positivity that's being gleaned from the work Ron Rivera and his staff are doing and the players. And we're starting to fall in love with guys like Terry McLaurin and Antonio Gibson. We're watching Alex Smith come back from the brink of, you know, for a lack of better word, you know, death at one point. because of infection. And here he is back on the football field. So many positive things to point toward. And what will the end result of, you know, that potential investigation bring to the table? Tommy wrote about it today in the Times. We'll talk about his column coming up at the top of the hour. We've also touched on a number of different things that you're welcome to chime in on. Brock talked about it there. Michael A. Taylor signs with the Kansas City Royals. $1.75 million deal for 2021, plus another chance for, I think, $1 million in incentives. You know, clearly, you know, as Mark Zuckerman wrote on Masson, 17 is, you know, best season where he got the closest thing to full-time play, 271, 19 dingers. So he'll have an opportunity. Alex Gordon retired in Kansas City, so there's a spot open in that outfield. And Michael A. Taylor's a great kid. Very soft-spoken kid, you know, just a good dude. Had a chance to interview him a couple times, talk to him in the locker room, and, you know, we wish him nothing but the best, and hopefully it works out with him getting full-time playing time in Kansas City with the Royals. And as we talked about, I mentioned it earlier, Todd Dybas' tweet today, and he's right about, you know, hey, when are we going to get some playing rules? So if you're a team in free agency, and that's why we're not seeing a ton outside of the pitchers who, you know, pitching is self-explanatory, American League or National League. You know, Charlie Morton signed with the Braves. That helps that rotation. You know, but otherwise, you know, for field players, especially guys that struggle in the field, and we got a lot of those out there, you know, whether you're going to have a DH in the National League in 2021 or not matters. It matters how much you throw at some of these guys. You know, most notably a Marcelo Zuna. You don't want him playing out in the outfield as very much if you can help it. But if you know you're going to have a DH, you put that guy either in front of or behind Juan Soto. That makes a difference in your lineup. And the price that you pay him is going to be different based on that as well. Now, clearly, I mean, he could go sign with an American League ball club. An American League team could make an offer for him. But if you're comfortable playing in a league, and he's been obviously in the National League with multiple teams now, then you, I'm sure a player would like to stay there if they possibly can. You know, Atlanta's got a good thing going. If you're Ozuna, you probably want to stay there if you can. But how much money is that franchise willing to spend? That's the biggest complaint from Braves fans. Is the kind of money that they're willing to spend. You know, they haven't made even, you know, the kind of commitments that the Nats have made to guys like Scherzer and Strasburg. The one thing they were able to do somehow, they avoided all the arbitration years with Acuna with a contract and Albies as well. So those guys are going to be there a while. And Juan Soto clearly at some point is going to have to get paid a lot. So will Trey Turner. Their play has earned them the right to make a lot of money right now in Major League Baseball. So perhaps seeing those deals down the road, you know, maybe spending is curtailed a little bit in free agency as you try to, you know, find in-house remedies for some things. Maybe instead of bidding on two or three players, you only bid on one. I mean, there's just so many things out there right now for not only Mike Rizzo, but every team to consider and how they're going to spend their free agent dollars here in the offseason, because you're spending for a season where you don't even know right now what rules you're going to play by. You don't know if you're going to be able to have fans in your park. I mean, look at what San Francisco's going through right now, you know, out in Santa Clara. They don't even care that it's the NFL. They told them, you got to get out. If you want to do something, you got to get out of here. So they're going to be playing Washington and Arizona. They're going to play Buffalo and Arizona. So, I mean, that's – we don't know where we're going to be, you know. They talk about starting spring training on time in February. We don't know you're going to be able to do that. Nothing like having a large throng of people in the state of Florida while, you know, we still may have COVID issues going on. Teams out in Arizona, you know, in spring training type formats. But we don't know if they're going to have fans in the stands. And if you can't maximize revenues again this year, how much money are you willing to spend for 2021? Probably the worst time ever to be a free agent unless you're a pitcher. I mean, it really is. Just so much uncertainty right now. Yeah, Charlie Morton apparently was Braves or Rays. That was his personal choice. And he took Atlanta for 15. I don't think the Rays were going to go up to 15. So Atlanta invested in something they need badly. They need to enhance that rotation. Got another guy to go with Max Fried now. And, you know, you got the youngster, Ian Anderson. So that rotation all of a sudden starts to look a little bit different to go with that terrific lineup that they have. It's going to be fascinating to see how things come together for this 2021 season. But Michael A. Taylor, if you're just joining us, signing a one-year deal with the Royals. And as I said, with Alex Gordon's retirement, that gives Michael A. a legitimate chance to compete here for a full-time job in 2021 with Kansas City. And hopefully he can play his way into that job for Kansas City in 2021. But all that stuff on the table, that in addition to we talked about a big win for Virginia Tech over the weekend. You heard both games right here on 106.7 The Fan in basketball as they upset Villanova. Took that game with one day to prepare. And, you know, we're working on getting Mike Young on sometime this week. They play Thursday against VMI. So we were trying to get him for today, but their plane didn't leave last night, so they're traveling today. So we're probably trying for Friday. And, you know, he had a great line about social media. He said, you know, they were asking him after the game about taking the game with Villanova because both teams lost a game with Temple. And Mike said, all I would need to do is wake up Friday morning and look at social media, and people say Villanova wanted to play Virginia Tech, but Mike Young said no. He goes, I wasn't going to deny my kids the opportunity to play that game. He goes, that's the last thing I need to wake up Friday morning and see. So they took the game, went up there to Mohegan Sun and won the darn thing. In overtime against a really good Villanova team. So it's a great win for Mike Young's club. All that on the table on the AAA Always On Call listener line at 1-800-636-1067. Just saw that Jeff Cerebic of The Sun was saying the NFL is thinking of moving this Ravens-Steelers game even to Wednesday now as a contingency. So, you know, they did Denver dirty. Even though Denver did it to itself, but they did Denver dirty, making them play. They are giving Steve Bisciotti and the Ravens ultimate, you know, carte blanche here by continuing to think about moving this game back. And the later it goes this week, that puts Washington-Pittsburgh into jeopardy on Sunday, which means that game's probably now moving to Monday as a doubleheader. I bet you this, if they play Wednesday, there's no way Washington and Pittsburgh play Sunday. I think that would go to being a Monday doubleheader then. Because if you play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I mean, I guess it would still be the same kind of turnaround if you play Sunday and then played Thursday. You know, you'd have Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But, boy, it would, you know, Pittsburgh doesn't deserve, you know, what's happening to them right now. It'd be from a competitive standpoint, it would really put them in an awkward spot. And they didn't really have anything to do with this, though they did have James Conner test positive, allegedly. They're starting running back. But if this game now gets moved back another day, you got to feel that Washington-Pittsburgh on Sunday could be a candidate to play on Monday, and the NFL would make that a doubleheader coming up on Monday. So we'll keep our eye on that. Adam Schefter's now come out here in the last few minutes, also basically tweeting possibility of similar information that this game could be moved on to later this week. So, again, it's got a direct effect on Washington because Pittsburgh is the next opponent for the Washington football team. Your thoughts on all of that we've talked about today. Tommy Lavero coming up at 5. AAA Always On Call listener line is open for you at 1-800-636-1067. Pete on Sports with you till 6 on 106.7 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Folks on social media wondering where I found those chocolatey churro Pop-Tarts at. See, I live in beautiful Churchton, Maryland. We have a grocery store called Christopher's, and they had plenty. On sale this week, as a matter of fact. I'd go back and buy me 100 of them. So that's where we found them. That's the other thing we're talking about today. Your favorite Pop-Tart flavors. You can drop it on us either on the phone or on Twitter at Pete Medhurst. Lots going on today now, and certainly watching this Washington-Pittsburgh scenario. And again, you know, a lot of you talk about forfeits and games canceled. They're not going to forfeit games. They are not going to cancel games because that costs players a game check. So that's not going to happen. But, you know, as JP and I were talking about, possibility of an 18th week. Problem is, if you push Washington-Pittsburgh, you know, to later on, you got to get Baltimore and Pittsburgh played at some point. So you can only do that if you get Baltimore and Pittsburgh played. And then maybe you could move. How ironic would that be, though? Washington needs to beat Pittsburgh to win the division, to have the record good enough to win the division and go to the playoffs. Man, how would that be for a cleanup final weekend on the National Football League schedule for the Washington football team? Keep in mind, Giants with Daniel Jones, hamstring injuries, likely going to miss a week or two here. That didn't look real good. Colt McCoy is going to take over for the Giants, at least in the short term here. So that opens a door for Washington that seemed like was, you know, it's going to be like, well, you know, the Giants look like they're going to start to take control of this thing. They survived Cincinnati yesterday the way they did. But, you know, things keep turning in favor of Washington. Going to be interesting to see Jason Peters play tonight. He's got a toe injury for Philadelphia. He's going to try and play through it. But, you know, obviously you're listening to WIP for a little while earlier today. You know, there are a lot of people that want to see Doug Peterson at least give Jalen Hurts a shot here. If not if not for any of the reason that he can't be any worse than Carson Wentz, you know, with some of the fans out there. And Jalen has a it factor for winning. You know, came in place of Tua at one point and bailed them out while they were at Alabama. You know, handled that role very well. Maybe he could give Philadelphia a brief lift right now. And they'll need it tonight against obviously a good Seattle team. You know, is Seattle's defense getting better? Is what they showed us against Arizona keeping the Cardinals at 21 points? Because Seattle's a team. If they can hold people to 21 points, they're going to be in every game. They're going to have a chance to win every game if they can hold people to 21 points or under. Because Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, doesn't matter which one of those guys are running the ball, whoever's healthy. You know, whether it's Carson or Hyde, doesn't matter. You know, whoever's healthy, just a complimentary piece at that point. But with Russell Wilson having those kind of weapons at his disposal on the outside, it's going to be interesting to see what they do at tight end, too, with Greg Olsen obviously going down. Already had a good one there. Olsen obviously provided them with another one. So that's going to be an interesting game to watch tonight. You'll hear it right here on The Fan following overtime with Chris Russell. And, of course, if you're looking for the edge, go to BetQL. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. You know, go in there to find some good information over the weekend. It's helped Joe Miller and I go to 27-9 on our college football locks on the It's College Football podcast. You can give that a listen on iTunes and pick that up. Tom Lavera coming up at the top of the hour. As we mentioned, we'll talk about Tommy's column. If you haven't read it yet, go to WashingtonTimes.com and you can read that before he and I talk about it coming up here at the top of the hour about this positive on-field momentum that finally seems to be coming together a little bit for Ron Rivera and the team. But could the findings in Beth Wilkinson's investigation, you know, derail some of that good feeling? Could it derail some of that good feeling? We'll talk with Tommy about that coming up at the top of the hour. Yesterday in the league, we talked about Kansas City, Tampa. You know, when you have Mahomes and you have Brady and you have all those playmakers on each side of the field, I mean, it gave you a good football game. Kansas City's first half was just ridiculous. Tampa's got a quality defense, and Mahomes just, you know, made them mincemeat with Tyreek Hill in that first half. Quarterback with a great feel for what he's doing and a guy with tremendous speed, that's a deadly combination. And Tampa's defense played much better in the second half, but couldn't get the stop they needed late in the ball game to get the ball back for Brady and company one more time to try and get a field goal. I thought one of the better efforts yesterday was Tennessee getting back a little bit more to who they are and what they do best. You know, they struggled there, you know, for a couple of weeks, but have bounced back with a big win on the road against Baltimore and then beating Indianapolis yesterday rather convincingly. I mean, they're up 35-14 at the half in this game. And Derrick Henry was ridiculous. 27 for 178 and three scores. I mean, that it was just a tremendous performance. And maybe after having their COVID issues the way they did, maybe Tennessee has finally found that second wind and that rhythm. A.J. Brown, former teammate of D.K. Metcalf in college, 69-yard play. And, again, I'm really happy to see Corey Davis. It's taken him a while. And maybe it was having a guy like A.J. Brown now on the other side. Maybe it's some maturity. Maybe it's more development. But a guy that was picked, you know, in the first round that was, you know, not giving you really first-round production, 3 for 70 yesterday, and he made the catches on all three of his targets. And, you know, he is, you know, whether it's because of Brown or not, he has, you know, been productive over the last few weeks here significantly for Tennessee. Phillip Rivers, 295 in the losing cause. They were playing from behind the whole game, though. I mean, when you need Phil to throw it 42 times, and they don't have the kind of offense right now, outside of T.Y. Hilton on the outside, they don't have guys that are going to get you big plays. You know, they got the former VCU basketball player, Mo Alie-Cox, playing tight end with Jack Doyle. But, you know, outside of Hilton, you don't have the guy that's really giving you the explosive stuff. They got Trey Burton at tight end. They got a bunch of tight ends. Like, they're a tight end loaded offense. But when you fall behind, you know, they don't have the offense that's going to come from behind. You know, we talked about the Giants escaping Cincinnati yesterday. If you're a Washington fan, you were pulling hard for Cincinnati with Brandon Allen playing quarterback in that game. You had New England pull one out. Nick Folk hit one from 50 to beat Arizona. And that's where, you know, Arizona now in the last couple of weeks, right as they were playing their way into this thing, you know, they've had a couple of spots here that they could not finish the deal. Got close with Seattle. Lose yesterday at New England. And the Cardinals now dropped to 6-5 on the season. And for all of the DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona, and obviously played well early, but in 5 for 55 yesterday. I mean, his longest play was 16. New England did not allow a passing play in the game over 20 yards. They got to Kyler Murray twice. And Murray, you know, only had 31 yards rushing, a 15-yard scramble. So he really didn't affect the game in that capacity either. So the Patriots did a solid job there. Did a solid job there. Cam Newton, 9 of 18 for 84 yards, 2 interceptions. You're thinking, of course New England's going to lose the game. But no. No, they somehow won it. James White had a couple of rushing touchdowns in that game there. 1-800-636-1067. Tom Lavero joins us at the top of the hour right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.